So we're in our question series. Obviously, questions have been coming in. If you have any questions, you could still send them in. I'm going to run this through the end of the summer. So as we continue with our series today, what I'm going to do is we're going to deal with some more questions about Christian living. So some details and things about, you know, practices and things that we do as Christians. But before I do that, I want to answer one random question that came in, which is this. Did Jesus have a sense of humor? Okay, the person that asked this said they found 49 attributes of Jesus, and none of those attributes were a sense of humor. Now, this is a good question, especially since most of us love to laugh. Would you agree with that? You like to laugh. So it's true, we don't have any accounts of Jesus making jokes like a scribe, a Pharisee, and a Sadducee walked into a bar, and like we don't see anything like that with Jesus. But we do know this about God. We are His image bearers. So the things that we see in ourselves, with the exception of sin, we can expect that God encompasses. There's a couple of verses. In Psalm 94:9, it says, "He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see?" So this is talking about God. God, in His very character, kind of emulates the things that He put into us. We are image bearers of His. And I think that God does value laughter, because this verse says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." So I would say, I am sure Jesus had a good laugh every now and again. We might not have that recorded in the scriptures, but He probably did have some sort of sense of humor. I mean, He created us after all, right? So on to the Christian living questions. And the first topic that I want to deal with is a couple of questions that came in about prayer. So the first question is, does God hear me if I pray in my head? Well, yes, He does hear you when you pray in your head. And the reason is this: God knows our thoughts. So whatever thought you're having, God actually knows. In Psalm 139, 2, it says, "You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar." So this passage tells us that God knows what we're thinking. Now, I don't want you to be confused, because, you know, there is spiritual warfare going on. Satan and demons and stuff, they don't know our thoughts, okay? They're not like God, okay? They don't know our thoughts. But God does actually know what we are thinking. And that's why when Jesus talks about sin, He says anybody who, you know, like sins in the mind, anybody who thinks certain things, like anybody who hates, anybody who lusts, like He knows what we're thinking. And in Matthew 9, Jesus says to a paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven." And some of the religious leaders were criticizing Him and in their thoughts. And actually, here's what the passage says. It says, "But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts?'" So based upon these two passages, we obviously know that silent prayers in our thoughts are actually heard by God. And most of you probably, when you pray, are praying silently. Actually, we practice that here, right, on Communion Sunday. I give you a few moments of silence so you can pray to God. We don't hear a bunch of people praying, but you pray to God in your thoughts. So that comes to the next question that came in about prayer, and that is this. Do I have to say specific words to be heard by God, or can it be casual, like talking to a friend? So let me go to Matthew chapter 6 and something that Jesus said. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." So after this, then Jesus actually teaches us how to pray with the very famous prayer, the Our Father. Now, some think that the Our Father is a specific prayer that you need to pray. But most theologians agree this is an outline for how we actually approach God. And if that is true, then the answer to the second part of this question is yes-ish, okay? It's not necessarily like talking to a friend, okay? We can be casual with God, but it's more like appealing to a parent. You get that? So when you're going to God, our Father, you're saying, my Father, I'm appealing to my parent. Now, I don't know what your relationship is or was with your parent, but hopefully it wasn't like very formal. Hopefully it was more casual in the sense that you feel like you can cry to your parent. You feel like you can run to your parent. You feel like you can be emotional with your parent. You feel that you can be some sort of casual with your parent. So we can approach God in a way that's casual, but more like a child going to their parent. So now the next topic that questions came in about, and two questions came out about this, which it's kind of concerning to me as a pastor of a church, and they're pretty much the same question. So it says this: how do I deal with a person that says they are a believer but constantly gossips? Okay? Why is this concerning for me as a pastor of a church? Well, if two people are saying this, there must be somebody in the church that maybe is gossiping about other people. I could be wrong, but I'm going to teach you how to deal with this person. So when a person says they are a believer but are doing the wrong thing, we don't challenge their faith, but now we have a great opportunity to confront them. You see that? So one of the things I love about this question is a person says they're a believer. So now, as a believer, I'm not going to challenge their faith. I'm going to use this as an opportunity to say, okay, we're on the same playing field. You believe, I believe, this is what the word says. So we all fault, and we all have had times in our lives in which we say no to God and we say yes to sin. Now, we probably all agree that when confronted in a loving way by a fellow believer with good intentions, it can be a wake-up call. Okay, so if you have a fellow believer in your life that has good intentions, wants the best for you, and they confront you and say, hey, listen, you've been doing the wrong thing, whether it's gossip or anything else, it can be a wake-up call for us to actually start to be more obedient in that area. So the way I want to answer this question really can be applied to any sin that a believer is choosing to walk in. Then we're going to get with the details, the fine details of the sin of gossip. So the first thing we need to do is to define sin, okay? We need to define what the sin is. And this is important because in our culture, the definition of what a sin is, or specific sins, can be all over the map. So we define sin. In this case, gossip. Okay? In this case, gossip. We do not do this because we think the person isn't sinning. We do it because I think we're more able to explain the sin to them when they understand what that sin is. We'll have more success in dealing with that person if we can come to the conclusion of, this is what you're doing. This is the sin. Okay, so gossip we find throughout the scriptures, but I'm going to go outside of the scriptures because even the world would consider gossip something that's at least not right. Maybe they might not call it sin, but this is just a dictionary definition of gossip. Gossip is casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. Now, normally, the person that gossips will grab onto the last word of this definition, right? And say, well, it's true, so I can say it, right? Have you heard this? Well, it's true. They are not fully convinced that what they are saying is actually sin, so therefore they will be less likely to admit it. I told the truth, and that's what needed to be told. Now, what I do in situations like these is remind myself, okay, if I'm gossiping, remind myself if I'm tempted to gossip or if I'm confronting someone else. because of their gossip, I go to this acronym. And I've taught this before, and you've probably heard this before. And the acronym is pretty simple. It's pretty much think before you speak. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Okay, you see? T-H-I-N-K. Think before you speak. Most of you probably taught your kids this when they were younger. Think before you speak. You don't have to say everything out loud, right? Okay, think about it before you speak. And guess what? God, as we saw, knows your thoughts. So for example, something may be true, but is it necessary for the person that I'm telling to hear it? Let me say that again. Something may be true, but is it necessary for the person that I am telling to hear it? It may be true, but it doesn't inspire anything good for the person hearing. On the other hand, something is true, and it is very helpful for the person I'm telling because it's protecting them and saving them time or effort. Okay? Sometimes something is true, and it's very necessary for someone else to know. It's very helpful for someone else to know because maybe somebody in their family is in danger. So obviously that's not gossip if I'm protecting somebody, say, in my family or in my church. So this is for all of us, and when we practice this, we guard ourselves against gossiping. And we have a helpful tool to teach others what is or isn't gossip. So now that we have the definition and some kind of parameters, and this would be with any sin, we have to go, you know, definition and then some parameters to see if we are there actually gossiping. The next thing we do is bring up appropriate scriptures about that sin. So, you know, we're painting a picture here. What do I do about my friend who's a persistent gossip and they say they're a believer? So we need to go to the scriptures, right? Because we can go to the outside world and definitions. We can go to little cute acronyms like this, or think before you talk. And those are all helpful things. But the word of God is what is powerful. You have to understand this. When you're dealing with somebody who says they're a believer, we're not challenging their faith, we go to the word. Here's what's powerful. Here's where the power is. Not in my words. So I believe when we come to the believer with the word of God, they have to deal with what the word of God says. I remember years ago seeing an interview with Rick Warren. Some of you know him. He wrote a couple books, okay? Pastor out in California. And he was like high profile. And basically he was asked, you know, by the interviewer, I forget who it was, Larry King or somebody. He said, so what you're saying is that we are all sinners? And he said, Larry, God said we are all sinners, okay? He threw it right in God's court because he was teaching them about God's word. So when we come to a believer only armed with what we have to say, there's really not much power. If we're like, oh, you said this or you said that, or, you know, let's go back and forth about this, there's no power in that. But where there is power is in the word of God. And here's what the word of God says in Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, what God's word does and says is we can share that with a person in an interactive way so that the power actually speaks to them, okay? So God, we're giving, when we share God's word with somebody else, we're giving God the opportunity to press upon their heart. Because you know what? A lot of times in life, when we're going the wrong way, we're Christians, right? We say we're Christians. We're going the wrong way. Somebody might say something, oh, that's gossip or that's that. You might be like, no, it's not, okay? We're not, because we're not listening to them. But then when we go to God's word, we sense some conviction. So now here's the kind of the steps that we have to look at, you know, when we're confronting someone. And this is more casual. You know, it's not like you're sitting this person down necessarily, but sometimes you can. But, you know, say if this person's gossiping to you. We talk about, like, what the motivation is to sin. Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Now, this is where you have an opportunity to say, hey, I understand why you want to do this, why you're talking about this person, or why you're spreading that rumor. I understand. God understands. This is something that's tempting. So when you're approaching somebody about sin, in our nature, we like hearing about things that are none of our business. I mean, that's kind of how it works. Not everybody, but people that have a tendency to sin in this way. We like hearing about things that are none of our business. Or maybe we like hearing about the downfalls of other people. We can maybe connect with them. We can connect with them if we've struggled with that sin. Maybe this is something that you've struggled with in the past. So you can use that as an opportunity to be like, hey, you know what? I used to gossip like that. I used to do things like that. Sometimes when we're feeling bad about ourselves, maybe upset with the fact that we're not where we're at in life, we want to look to other people and see, you know, their downfalls or their deficiencies, and we want to tell other people about those things to make us feel good about ourselves. So see what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to help you to interact with them in a way that's saying like, hey, you know what? I kind of been there too. You know, I've fallen short in this area. And that's why it's important too, especially with specific sins. If maybe you have a few people in your life, maybe somebody that struggled with that, to connect those people together. Because they understand. Because I know for me personally, as a pastor, a lot of people will come to me, talk to me, and different things. And certain sins and certain things they're going through, I'm like, man, I could point you to God's word, but I can't fully understand what you're dealing with. Because I haven't dealt with that. Nor do I want to in many cases, right? So connecting those people with other people sometimes also helps as well. So we tend to be motivated to sin when there's some sort of deficiency or need in our lives. You, as the fellow Christian, are trying to help them to get to the reason they feel they need to sin in this way. So friend that's dealing with a friend that's gossiping, you're trying to kind of help them to understand why they're motivated to do what they're doing. And that's really with any sin. Next, we need to show them what the word says about the damage this sin does. You know, some people aren't fully woken up when you say like, oh, I get it, because they'll say, yeah, you know what? Yeah, we all sin. We're all motivated to sin. So what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is sin is a big deal. I don't know if you realize this, but Jesus hung on a cross to pay the price for our sins. I think it's a big deal. And sin does damage. Proverbs 16:28 says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. This is probably something that has already happened, and that's why you're probably confronting the person. So if there's a person that's persistently gossiping, there's probably strain in relationships. Because normally when you hear somebody gossiping, you're not like ready to jump and confront. But apparently this person has probably made a mess and friends have been separated. There's strains on relationship because of the sin of gossip. So with the sin of gossip, though, sometimes the person's intention is to actually ruin relationships. I mean, this is where it gets deeper, right? So we're trying to help people understand, like, you know what you're saying? It's doing damage. It's hurting relationships. It's separating friends. It's causing problems in the family. The gossip may not only separate friends, there also is a danger for that person. Now, this is where you want to appeal to the person, okay? You got the motivation for sin. You want to tell them about the danger of sin. Okay, you're separating friends. You're causing relational problems, but they might be coming out the other end unscathed, so to speak. But now you have to appeal to them and say, hey, listen, Proverbs 20:19 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. Here, the Bible instructs us not to associate with people like this. So basically, you can appeal to this person that says they're a Christian and persistent in gossip. Like, listen, there are many reasons, but the bottom line is that other people see my association with you as validation of what you're doing. Okay? You get that? So if you're good friends with somebody who's gossiping and continuing to persist in that, and they're a believer, and you're fine with it or don't say anything about it, other people on the outside are saying, I don't even know if I want to hang out with that person because they're with that person and they must be validating what that person is doing. And this is where in our Christian lives, and I think I said this some weeks ago, like a lot of times I won't even be friends with somebody on Facebook if they're just going off the rails because I don't want other people to think, oh, Pastor Mike's cool with that, because I'm not, okay? And I'm gonna say, I mean, granted, if I went through all my friends, I'd be getting rid of a lot of people, but here's the thing. So you don't want to be known as the accomplice to what the sin is. And basically the way that you can appeal to this person is say, hey, listen, you know what? You're doing damage to other people, but you're actually doing damage to yourself because other people aren't going to want to hang with you. They're not going to want to spend time with you. They're going to realize that, you know, a gossip to you is probably a gossip of you. The further damage of this type of sin can be physical, emotional, or spiritual ruin. Check out this verse. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Okay? Physical, emotional, spiritual damage. Now, hopefully through all of this, you've gotten their attention. Okay? Hopefully through all this, whatever the sin is, if it's the sin of gossip, you know, you got a little outline here, right? But if it's any sin, we need to go to this, the damage. And, you know, it's so sad that people don't realize the damage they can do to themselves and other people when they persist in sin. So hopefully through all this, you've gotten their attention. And when we do, this is the compassionate and loving way of speaking the truth, and they'll more than likely listen. So now at this point, you're trying to help them. Not only realize all this stuff, but now you're trying to show them there's a better way, okay? This is kind of like the rehab part. There's a better way for you to live. And that's, like I said, with any sin, but we're going to continue on with the sin of words, of gossip. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. You know, there's a better way. Not gossiping keeps you out of trouble. You know, some of you might have experienced this in life, people around you, or maybe, sadly, it's you. You have a string of broken relationships, and there's a lot of people that you don't get along with, right? You don't get along with these people. At some point, you're going to have to look and say, what is the common denominator? It's you, okay? If you need me to spell it out to you, it's you. If you, I don't get along with this person, I don't get along with that person, I don't get along with that, I don't get along. Like, think about this. If you can count on more than one hand how many people you don't get along with, you got to be doing some soul searching. Because most people, generally speaking, kind of want to get along with people at, like, at least some kind of cordial level, you would think. So not gossiping keeps you out of trouble. Then the better way goes on. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Remember that, is it inspiring? You know, you go to tell somebody something. Is this inspiring? You know, sometimes, like, you know, when I hear things about other people or things like, I'm like, I do not want to even talk about this. Even if somebody asks me about it, even if I'm allowed to say it, even if it's true, Like, this is just not inspiring anything good. I hate to even say these words. I hate to even say the things that people do in the darkness. The better way is to talk about and say things that build others up. Now, think about the people, and I've said this probably hundreds of times before. Think about the people that you want to be around. Are they encouraging or are they discouraging? I'll let you answer that. You know the type of person that when you see coming, it's going to be a complaint, gossip, tearing down. It's going to be something negative. When you walk away, you're going to feel yucky, right? You're just going to feel like, ugh, like I don't feel good about that conversation. Or the person that's going to be the encouragement. They're going to say things that are good to hear. Psalm 34:13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. You know, when my kids were little, we had these little Steve Green tapes called Hide Them in Your Heart. If any of you had those, we used to play them in the minivan with the tape player that we got rid of. And the one Steve Green was, keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. And your lips from speaking lies. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. As soon as I was preparing for this, guess what came into my mind? Okay. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. There's a better way, isn't there? There's a better way for you and I to speak to people. The better way is obedience. Obedience is keeping your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. So what I did here is using God's word to show you our motivation for sin, the damage that sin does, the better way to live by guidance from God's word, right? But interestingly enough, as I was studying, I came upon Titus chapter 3. Paul actually tells Titus to remind the believers of these things and remember why, which is because of what Christ has done for us. So when you're confronting somebody about sin, whatever it is, gossip in this case, but whatever it is, Paul reminds Titus, he says this. He says, remind them, he's talking to Titus and saying, remind the believers. He says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. I want to stop there for a second because November's coming, right? And I don't know about you, but I'm already sick of it, okay? I've been sick of it for about 3 months now. Our culture wants to speak evil about everybody. That's the way it is. Now, I am not going to change them, but guess who I can change? What I say. Christians, don't get involved in that, right? Speak evil of no one. Avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and show perfect courtesy to all people. Think about that for a second. Imagine a world where we all had courtesy towards the people around us. For we ourselves were once foolish. And this is where, remember, the motivation of sin, talking to somebody, I kind of understand. We ourselves were once foolish. We were disobedient. We were led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. This is how you lived. This was the damage that was done. This is how you lived. This is the damage that was done. Paul is talking about rulers and authorities inside and outside of the church. Believers should be ready to do good, speaking evil to no one, avoiding fights and quarrels, being gentle to others. We do that by remembering we were once there. And I don't want to go there anymore. I don't want to live like I used to. I hope you don't want to live like you used to. But the good news, Paul goes into. He says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. Think about this for a second. He saved us, not by our works of righteousness. If anybody tries to tell you you have to be a good person to enter into heaven, bring him here, okay? He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but because he was merciful to us. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But God was willing to lay down his life and pay the price for our sins on that cross and rise again 3 days later to prove that he is God. So anybody who says they're a believer, that's what they're believing, right? So then he goes on. He says, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. God takes his dwelling place in our hearts and souls. God lives with us, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So Titus, what he does, or Paul, what he does with Titus, is he reminds us of where we belong. You are eventually going to be in heaven. You are an heir. Now, is that how heirs of God's kingdom should live? Should we live in sin and persisting in sin? So basically, when you say you're a believer, you say, I belong to a kingdom that's better than here. So therefore, I'm going to live like a citizen of that kingdom. The better way. The way that God tells me to live. So I don't want to get involved in those sinful things any longer. See, as believers, we should be speaking words of life. Think about it. You have only so many words that you can possibly say in life. Some of you, it's more than others, obviously, right? But here's the thing. What are you saying with those words? It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. As believers, we should be speaking words of life. In Colossians, it says this, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So this is how we deal with a person that says they're a believer, but is persistent in sin. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for these questions, and I just pray, Lord, that whether it's the sin of gossip or the sin of anything else, that a person that is claiming that they trust you, we take them at their word, that they trust you. So I pray that they understand and live by what your word has to say, which is the better way. I'm thankful again for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.